today on Codebin Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Codepen Radio. This is episode number 255. And this week we're going to be talking about some changes that we've made to our assets modal, which is a little tool that you can use right inside the pen editor and the project editor now, actually, to bring in images or fonts or colors into your pen and your project, and also to bring in your own files if you are a pro. I'm Marie Mosley. I'm the support lead here at CodePen. And with me today to talk about that is Stephen Shaw. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, everyone.
And Stephen is one of our engineers, and you were one of the people who worked on the new design and made it actually work for us. That was you and Claire working together on the design, right?
Yes. I think I've been championing this for a little while now. And then with the redesigned settings modal that y'all talked about recently, we were able to kind of get that moving ahead for the assets modal too.
Yeah, these two really go hand in hand because they both had the similar design style to each other previously. And when the settings change went out, it really did make sense to also unify the look between the two. And you made some improvements, which we will get into. But first, we should just talk about what they're for, what we do with them. There's two aspects of the asset modal. There's the free assets, which are things like Unsplash images and Google Fonts and colors that you could just pick and just pop right into your pen. I love using the Unsplash images. I think that's really nice for making a very quick, nice thing. And I've actually noticed a lot of people start to use them for things like slideshows and stuff, which has been really nice to see.
Yeah, it's super handy. Whenever you open that tab up, the photos tab, it will give you a random list of just some popular images on Unsplash, which is good for inspiration because you can, you know, just grab something without necessarily having to search for it. But there's also a search option. So if you wanted pictures of shoes or, you know, money or whatever, you can search for those and get some really great quality images that are just free from Unsplash.
Yeah, I have to wonder about Unsplash. Like, what's the plan over there? Because I wonder how they make money. I don't know if they do, but I have to say that the community over there that shares photos, they're just so generous. There's so much incredible work over there. I use a lot of Unsplash for the CodePen challenges. I go in and pick out an image that kind of goes along with the challenge, unless like an actual picture of the pen, like the template pen, would make better sense. Like, I'll just grab something that sort of represents the idea of the challenge. And I always find something that not only fits the topic that I'm looking for, but it's just super nice. Just really, just the highest quality stock type photos I've ever seen. So
yeah, and free. It is wild. I guess it's mostly an exposure thing for the photographers to be able to just like get a selection of their work out and getting people using that, and then, you know, they've got, I guess, a name for themselves through that.
I suppose. I guess it's sort of the photographer's way of contributing to open source in a way.
So. Right. Kind of an open source model for photography.
But I mean, the work over there is just incredible. So yeah. I like just opening that tab and looking occasionally just to see what the random thing is. But when we have challenges, we've a couple of times suggested, like, you know, just open up this tab and type in. Like, we had one that was the hamburger menus, and we were like, you know, look in there, check out the hamburgers in there. So it's been really handy for things like that.
What a delicious challenge.
Yeah, that one was real tasty. But it's also just really nice to be able to see people use it for things like, you know, demonstrating a slideshow or even just putting a nice background on a pen that has a relatively simple functionality. But if you give it a nicer look, it's just more eye-catching. It's more exciting for people to use it. So I really like having that in there. Yeah. And so those all just come in from the Unsplash API. And we also have just a color palette selector and all of those types of things. And those things have been really handy. But one thing that we learned over time was that if you were also a pro member, those free assets kind of got in the way. And it would actually be a little bit confusing if you were looking for your own files, which realistically should have been the priority all along. But we sometimes when we ship something, we ship it on the quicker side and we just do the thing that works rather than the well-considered design, which is what you and Claire put together this time around. So
yeah, well, so there's kind of the two aspects to the asset modal. There's your files, and then there's these free design assets. And your files, the pro feature, you can basically upload images or, you know, styles or scripts or kind of external dependencies that you might want to use, like a sound file or a 3D model or something like that, that you would then import into your code or use in your code. And it's a really great way to not have to like manage your own hosting or do anything like that. You get like a S3 upload basically with that. But yeah, the previous design, it was made to be like a split panel kind of set up. So you'd have like the free design assets on one side and then your files on the other. But just depending on like your screen size or your window size, the order of them would change. And it would just basically completely obscure your files whenever you opened up the modal. So getting to your files from within that was very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It was not in any way ideal, but it was just one of those things where we made it happen and then we were like, we will definitely fix this someday. And that someday is finally here.
Here we are. We've yeah. made it.
Yeah. So in redesigning it, it now matches up with the style of the settings panel, but it also prioritizes your files. It's much, much easier to get to your files, which is key, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the first thing you land on when it opens up now, and there's just kind of a sidebar of tabs, just like the settings modal, and so that's what you land on first, and then you can easily search and filter and copy out all of those files there.
Right, that's the other thing that's really cool. You can search through your own stuff, so you can find your files by name, you can find them by file type, and all of that, and that's. Am I remembering correctly that wasn't in there before, or was it? It was just hard to find.
Functionality-wise, everything is pretty much the same, just cleaned up. So you were able to search before. You were able to kind of filter by the file type and copy things out in the same sort of way. It's just now a little bit cleaner and easier to use.
Yeah, it's also way more obvious that it's searchable. See, I didn't even remember that it was searchable. That's how bad. That's how bad it used to be. But now it's definitely much more pro friendly. But at the same time, it's still got all those free assets there, and they're just as easy to get to before. And actually, it's I think broken out a little bit better to have the free design assets broken out into these tabs rather than the way in the sidebar tabs now that we have them, which is I think a lot friendlier.
Yeah, it does feel much easier to navigate. For sure.
Yeah, it fits in with the rest of the style of the site where we have, you know, on the homepage, we have sidebar navigation. Now in the settings panel, we have it, and now also in the assets. So that makes a lot of good sense. Actually, you were mentioning 3D models, and that reminds me, you recently had talked to someone about 3D models for, it was 3JS, right?
Yeah.
Right, and so you just added those for projects.
Yeah, there was a support request that came in, and somebody was asking about loading 3D models, and I was like, well, of course you can do that in just the asset manager. You upload the 3D model, and then you're able to import that in 3JS using their special loaders, depending on what kind of model type you're using. And I sent them over an example, and then they're like, but yeah, what about projects? I was like, oh, okay. So in the actual like project files area, you previously weren't able to upload the common 3D model file types, but I've added support for that now. Just, you know, whitelisted those extensions basically. So now if you have a project, you can upload all your 3D models in there to group with your project and easily load those from 3JS in the same way. But if you're just using the pin editor, you can also do the same thing with your assets.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad that we were able to extend that. We when we put together the projects editor, we were kind of creating the allow list very strictly. And over time, we were able to expand that and put more things on the allow list. So it was great to be able to add something for 3JS, which is like so popular on CodePen.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of surprised it was the first time that had come up for projects. But, you know, especially, I mean, considering how often we have cool 3JS pens on the pics and things like that.
So. Yeah, it really does make good sense to have those in projects because of the multi-file format and like being able to organize your code and split out like, you know, your different kind of 3D needs into multiple files. It definitely works well in a project setup.
Another thing about projects here with, you know, with the context of assets is that now you have the asset manager or you have the asset modal inside of projects and it's the exact same one. Mm-hmm. You can take your files from your asset manager that you've uploaded for pens and move it into a project if you want to use it there.
Right. Yeah. You can share 3D models across, you know, all of your projects by using just the assets instead of in one specific project. And then you can share that across your pins too.
It's also handy for keeping your project size smaller because you can use stuff that's already up in your assets and bring those over. Like if you have images or anything in your asset files, you can bring them into your project without actually having to load them into your project. So depending on how your project is set up, that could be a way around the size limits on your project. So little probe tip, workflow tip there.
Yeah, especially things that you're using across a lot of different projects, like logos or brand assets or you know, specific imagery or things like that.
Totally.
Using the assets versus the file projects as a great approach.
Hey, this episode is sponsored by WordPress.com. Another new feature to tell you about of WordPress.com that's pretty cool that will appeal to people trying to make money online is your WordPress.com site can make you money. You know, it can do that in a number of ways. For one thing, you can enable ads on them and make money through advertising. You can have the e-commerce plan, which is, you know, kind of has WooCommerce then baked into it, and you can sell stuff. So that's kind of rad, you know, if you have something to sell in the world. But here's another thing you can do, and this is the new one, is that you can do recurring payments as well. So if you wanted to, like, have a subscription or some kind of anything that you want to pay, have your customers pay you monthly or yearly for annually, you can do that now. So that's pretty cool. You need to use Stripe. So you can just sign up for a Stripe account. It's the kind of the nicest payment gateway thing out there anyway. So you might already have a Stripe account, you know, whatever. And then you connect WordPress.com to Stripe, and then you're all set up to do this. So as you're creating content on your WordPress.com site, pages, posts, all that stuff, you know, you have the, like, the Calypso editor in there, you know, like the Gutenberg-esque thing where you're making blocks and stuff. One of the buttons will just be a recurring payment button. You can just say, like, this button signs my customers up for a $12 a month subscription to my site, you know? And this is good. This is a good way to, if you have something valuable to offer, to get a, you know, consistent base of customers to build your business from. So if you have ideas for that and don't feel like coding it from scratch and building it and all that, you can use WordPress.com, which is a nice fit because that's kind of what it's for anyway. You know, it's like for people that don't necessarily want to code up their own site, but still have all the power of a big, awesome CMS that they don't have to worry about. Now, same thing. You have e-commerce that you don't have to worry about and get wired up yourself. It's a pretty cool feature. Check it out.
So what did it take to make these changes in the modal? I'm curious about the redesign and the rewrite of the modal.
So not too much changed as far as the code overall, just moving over to a kind of new tab setup and updating the styles. One thing that I did need to do, because the settings modal was made very specifically for just doing the settings modal, I needed to make the styles a little bit more generic, kind of make it not a React component, but make the styles more componentized. So it was basically tab modal kind of style rather than like settings modal. So now we can utilize this style across, you know, other needs if that comes up. So making those a little more generic and then updating the tab layout in the code. And one of the things that we're working on now is unifying the project's asset modal with the pin editor asset modal. Right now, those are actually two completely different implementations of the same exact features. One of them, the projects side of it, is done in React with Redux. And the other one is the Rails templates that are like Ajax loaded by jQuery and kind of enabled by that. So it's a little bit of a mess right now. But one thing we're working on is kind of removing the Redux from the project's version. And then we'll be able to replace both of those with just the React version that uses our Apollo API behind the scenes for like the file uploading and those kinds of things. And then we'll just have one version to manage. Imagine that.
We're getting there. I feel like every time we say Redux on the podcast, there should be like a thunderclap.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely been, it's been quite a journey, you know, moving from the Redux that we've had across the site in the past too. And now at this point, I think, is it just in projects? Is that like the only Redux world that we have left?
As far as I can tell, yeah, it's isolated to the projects editor. Previously, the dashboard was also Redux. But we completed that just a few months ago, moving that over to just the Apollo API. And that was a big ordeal. There's just so many little implications that you have to implement for Redux that makes everything very Redux-y. And so de-Reduxing is a whole project.
Is that like, what's the phrase for that, I wonder? Reducing your Redux? That's like a tongue twister.
Yeah, it's, you know, not ideal either way.
Yeah. But that's definitely been something that's been going on over the past year. We've been making strides towards removing that and bringing things into a more unified state. And this is just another step in that direction, which is cool.
And, you know? And it's going to make improving the assets modal so much easier once we have it, number one, all in React, and number two, all the same, not having to duplicate our efforts. That's going to make iteration and everything so much faster.
That's funny. I had no idea that these are different. They look identical and they function the same. I'm like playing around with it right now and I can't see a difference. So you did a great job of making them clones of each other.
Yeah, I mean, they're using all the same styles under the hood, but like the just clicking through the tabs, like that's completely recreated in React versus, you know, jQuery, and like the file uploading and all of that is handled completely differently. The copy to clipboard, you know, it was efforts that were done, you know, a year or more ago. I guess whenever the project editor was made at the time, that was the right approach because it needed to be in that Redux environment. So it needed all the Redux-y things. But yeah, I think for the future of it, it will be much nicer to have it independent from that.
Yeah. This is great. And it's nice to move in small steps in that direction. I feel like the whole team feels a sense of accomplishment when we break up these little pieces and get them complete instead of just staring at a monolith and going, oh no.
Right. It doesn't have to be an entire project. Like, you know, the team is only focused on, you know, reducing the number of Rails templates and reducing the Redux throughout the site. Like, you know, and we don't release anything for a year, you know, like that's not good for anybody. So these little moments where we can port things over and drop a bunch of legacy code that we no longer need to support, like that just makes everybody happy and makes things so much easier for the users to get new features.
Absolutely. And that's the whole goal here, making sure that we get the good, cool stuff out.
No, top goal is developer experience number one overall. No,
I know that's not true. I see how everybody works. I see what everybody's really dedicated to.
Yeah, no, it's definitely all about the end experience, the end user.
Yeah, absolutely. And just making it easier to get working on something. And that was the whole goal with this assets concept, just in general, the assets for asset hosting, and then also the free assets. Free assets, I may have mentioned this in the past on the show, but it can't hurt to say it again.
It's fine to toot your own horn, Marie. Go ahead.
This was the first thing that I ever proposed as a feature when I first joined CodePen. I was like, you know what would be cool is if we had like our own placeholder image thing, you know? And that was my idea, because I kept hearing from people who were using, I don't know, I guess it was just coincidental with the time that I joined, but lots of like placeholder image places were starting to like just disappear, you know, because that's like expensive to host placeholder images if it's just a side project.
Is Place Kitten gone?
Place Kitten has a little bit of trouble loading sometimes, I've noticed. And
it's still alive though.
It is, okay. But sometimes barely. You can hit it on a bad day. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And there was another one. I'm thinking like Place Hold It or something.
Yeah, but, I know that was a big one.
And that might also still be around, but
it looks like they got bought out, maybe.
Oh no.
Weird.
but it was kind of coincidental with when I was arriving at CodePen, was that a lot of people were finding, oh, like my placeholder images are gone. And I was thinking, you know, it might be cool if we had in-house placeholder images or some way for people to just get, you know, easily get placeholder images so they didn't have to even look around for them. And so like the idea was actually, I was thinking we should just like have generic stock images, because I was thinking like then we could make sure they weren't like anything weird, you know. but then as we were moving along with the idea, eventually we discovered that, you know, Unsplash had this incredible API, and it's like, okay, well, these are all really nice photos and they're all appropriate. Like, it wouldn't be a big deal if one of them ended up on the homepage. Everything's gonna be fine.
Perfect so, service for that.
And it's rock solid. I mean, we've never heard anything about trouble with it. You know, knock on wood, obviously, but but we've never had any kind of major outage or anything with it. And so it's really nice, because a lot of the time, especially for newer developers, the first signal that something's wrong is that their images aren't working. And it's kind of tough to debug it when you're first getting started.
Yeah.
So being able to like look and just know that your images are going to be working unless you did something wrong, it's just helpful on its own. Because we used to hear from people who would write in and be like, you know, I made this slideshow and all my pictures are gone. What happened? And, you know, you look in the console and you see, oh, okay, like they're all 404ing or 500ing or whatever, but it's something's going on with the image host. This way, you know, it's an easier way for people to use images that we know are going to be very reliable. And
right,
that's great.
It's a lot more stable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the free design assets, it really is such a great touch. I talk about this a lot with my wife. Like one of the hardest things as a creative is a blank canvas. Like there's too much possibility, there's too many options. Like getting started becomes really difficult because of all the possibility. But when you have something that you can like pull from, or something that can inspire, like these photos or these patterns or these icons or the colors, like it becomes so much easier to just say, okay, I'm going to use this to get started, and then my idea evolves from there. So all of these free design assets are a really great way to, you know, if you're struggling with what to create next, go in there, get a little inspiration, and you'll be off and running in no time.
That's a really good point. It's true. You know, just that little spark can kind of get you moving. So it's nice to have that in there. And I love also the little bit of polish that it can add to people's work. Like if you have a cool concept of something that is functionally interesting, but you don't necessarily have a ton of design sense yourself, or, you know, have a way to make it fancy or pretty or whatever, it's nice to just, you know, pretty up the font or add a cool background image or something like that. I mean, I have no design sense whatsoever. And every time I want to make something, I'm like, I'm so glad we have Unsplash. I'm so glad we have these things already here, because I can just pop this in. I don't have to think about, you know, trying to open, you know, Photoshop and try to make a pattern or something, which for me is a nightmare. I can just grab these things right out of the assets. And that's what, like, if you look at my pens, almost all my ones on my showcase have something from the assets, because I can't come up with that on my own. So, and I definitely notice when people use them, and it draws my eye as a person that's picking pens, something that is nice looking is going to catch my eye a lot faster than something that's, you know, weird looking or doesn't have any kind of visual aspect at all. So,
right.
Although a weird looking thing, let's be real, that'll catch my eye too.
Yeah, but if it's all console output or just like, you know, the default browser styles of something, like it may be technically interesting, but there's nothing to like draw you into it unless you know what you're looking for.
Right, so exactly.
That's where these are super helpful.
That's tricky to get, you know, attention if, for example, you're going to share it on Twitter or, you know, want to share it around with other developers, just something that's eye-catching. There's so much noise. You just want to, you got to catch the eye somehow. And so having something a little, just a little extra polish, that little extra coat of paint on it can really make the difference. So if you have not popped into the assets yet, you can reach into it. It's just on the left-hand side of the pen editor or the project editor. Just hit that assets button.
In the bottom left. Yeah,
bottom left. And if you are pro, you'll have all of your files that you've uploaded to assets there. If you're a free member, we'll mention that what you'll get from pro if you check it out, but you'll also see all of the free assets, and those are free forever. Just help yourself and make some cool stuff with it. We are looking forward to see what you make.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get out there and do it.
Absolutely. Yes. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.